Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another week of Tales from the Terror Dome. If you are with us this far this year, well, you know we have reached the bye week. We have fired our coach. It has either not gone the way we thought it was going to go, or it has gone exactly the way we thought it was going to go. It depends on what side of the fence you were on. I had no idea how it was going to go. I'm a little surprised that this is the point that we are currently at, but it is what it is. Coaching rumors going crazy. We got NDAs getting signed. We got press conferences get canceled. The tea is spilling or not spilling in Blacksburg, but it is, the tea is bubbling. That glass is full, baby. And here to talk a little on the bye week, you know, with me is Pete B from Too Deep. He's a seasoned vet of Tales from the Terror Dome at this point. When you see this episode go out, the title is James, Shane, and Automobiles. I just watched the John Candy documentary this week. It was a phenomenal documentary about a phenomenal human being. And the word, like the two coaches that you keep hearing about, James Franklin, Shane Beamer, both connected to Virginia Tech, one directly, one indirectly. And, you know, I just felt like it was a nice little rhyme, and that's what we're going with. PB, how you doing, my man?
I am doing great, and I did watch that documentary. As soon as I saw it, it popped up on Prime. I was like, I got to watch this. I'm a huge John Candy guy, and Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, one of my all-time favorites. So, yeah, great doc. Dude. It's not like the laugh riot. Like, you're not going in there to laugh. Like, it's serious, but it's really good.
Yeah, you might cry a little bit.
Yeah,
you might get a little like, damn, somebody put the onions away. Like,
it's amazing how, you know, you can be good at something, successful, really successful in his case, and you can still have so much self-doubt, and it can eat away at you in various ways.
Oh yeah, no, that's a fact. They kept bringing up his weight stuff, and as a bigger man, I kind of like was like, you know what? Like, if Pete's wrong, Pete's wrong. But if I'm wrong, I'm fat. Like, I get it, you know? Yeah. But, man, did you think this is where we would be at the bye week? Like, did you think the season would unfold?
No, I mean, not in August. Like, I thought we were going to split the first two games at worst. And then I thought we'd beat ODU. I thought we'd beat Wofford. And we'd be, like, 3-1. And, you know, we beat Wake. I predicted an 8-4 season. So this is all, it all turned upside down so fast. And that happened because Pry lost the locker room midway through Vanderbilt. And they kind of gave up. And then they gave up real bad once adversity struck against ODU. And, you know, the admins were given no choice. Like, you had to let them go after that.
Yeah, it definitely, shit rolls downhill, is the saying, and it rolled downhill pretty fast. It was an avalanche of bad that ascended or descended upon Blacksburg. I don't know, man. Like, at the same time, like, it sucks that it happened because we're bad, but like, if we'd have been bad without a fired coach, like, from our perspective, like, it would have been like, what would we have talked about? We would have just talked about bad football all year.
I would say that a worse scenario for Virginia Tech in the long term would have been dropping those first two games we did, and then beating ODU by a couple touchdowns, beating Wofford, beating Wake, and knowing that Pry doesn't have what it takes and being stuck. Like, that would be worse.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. We had Wake beat, but we snatched defeat from the jaws of victory. We gave them 20 points and we lost by 7. We went down to Georgia Tech and they were obviously a better team, but we didn't help ourselves. What's his face? Oh wow.
Haynes King?
Hawkins.
Oh, Hawkins,
9 carries, 81 yards. Maybe we should have seen not what 9 yard average. Like maybe we should have seen
some that a little bit more. And yeah, that's been a big story of the season, right, Dan? I mean, Kyren has struggled to pass the ball since day one, since last year. And we kind of put the excuse that, oh, he was hurt all last year. That's not really who he is. He's more like 2023 Kyren, who showed flashes. And we've realized now, like, he's not an efficient passer of the football. And we can, when we want to, seems like we can run the ball, even with all of our O-line deficiencies. And we haven't given it to the running backs enough. And Kyren also isn't the strongest in the read game with, should I take it? Should I give it? Now, when Kyren runs, he does well more often than not, but there's also some bad reads in there too.
Yeah. And I think the biggest underlying thing in this whole thing just smacks us straight in the face. If you think about the season so far, is we haven't played one team that just outright looked better than us. Like South Carolina, we lost that game, obviously, but, and they, on paper, they're better. They're more talented. They got more blue chips, whatever. But the way that game played out, it felt like there were chances that we should have been able to punch and land punches and possibly win that game. Vanderbilt, you were up at half at home at night. Like, you shouldn't have given up 34 unanswered. And then, obviously, ODU is inexcusable. You go, you beat Wofford. Obviously, you beat NC State. And then right back to it, like Wake, you gave it to them. And Georgia Tech, they let you hang around, and we didn't punch enough.
We didn't land enough. Yeah, like I'll start back to front just in the Georgia Tech game because it just happened. Like that was the first one that was like, okay, we're outmatched here. But I don't even necessarily think it was because of who our team is. It's we've played 7 games in 7 weeks. We're one of only 14 FBS teams to have played 7 games through week 7. And some of those teams played week 0. So like we were exhausted. And Georgia Tech's really good. And they could have whipped us if they wanted to. They got super vanilla at the end. But prior to that, Dan, I would agree with you. Like the South Carolina game, I thought we were going to win all summer. Like I really felt like we were going to win. It was winnable. If we had a better coach, a better game plan, a better approach to offense, a better quarterback, any one of those little things, like we might have won that game. If Tarion Stewart was fully healthy, we might have won that game. And look at South Carolina. They're exactly what I thought they'd be over the summer. Like they're not that good. And they're going to run into this. They're running into a gauntlet now. So that shouldn't be the evaluation of whether they're not good if they lose the next four because they're playing really good teams. But they're probably going to beat Oklahoma. They might. And then they got 3 top 6 teams. But that team was not number 13 in the country. They were not. They never deserved to be that high. And I felt that way all summer long. I thought we were going to win, and we couldn't do it. And it's because we didn't have a coach that could properly motivate or properly game plan or properly make decisions in the game.
Yeah, I felt like we were definitely motivated to start that game. By the time they returned that punt for a touchdown, which was egregious to begin with because of the penalty that even caused that to be the case. We should have been like the score. We should have been in the lead. So those 2 punches they landed shouldn't have been as damning to the result as they were. But because we were ineffective inside the 20s, that's the position we were in.
Yep.
But yeah, Georgia Tech, obviously, Haynes King is ridiculous. Brent Key has those dudes down there just ready at all times.
They play hard.
It feels like
they
are great. Like that team embodies what we envisioned for Virginia Tech, in my opinion.
Yeah,
physical enough, and discipline.
Yeah, you get enough pieces, and then you get a special quarterback, and you can have a really special season. That's when Virginia Tech's been at its best. It's not that we're overwhelming with talent at every position. It's that the guys play hard. They're developed well. The quarterback may or may not be special, and you can steal some games. Like they shouldn't have won the Wake game, but they won it. I'm talking about Georgia Tech. You know, like right. That's what good teams do. That Colorado game started off horrible for them, They want it. And I like Brent Key. Now they're in a tough spot this weekend. Not that we're talking about Duke and Georgia Tech, but like that's an interesting game for the ACC.
No, Duke is, yeah, they, Duke has UVA and Georgia Tech on the schedule, so they have a chance to ruin it potentially for both, but definitely one of them, in my opinion.
And they're favored right now in that game. It's come down a little bit. Like it was Duke maybe at 3 or 2.5, and I think now it's getting closer to a pick 'em. But very interesting and pivotal game in the ACC.
Yeah. It's interesting. Manny Diaz is somebody that I like as a coach. I think he went out, he got Mensa in the portal. They spent a lot of money. Duke is invested in him and the team. And I think that he is, not to like knock on, I mean, not to knock on pride, but he was the Penn State defensive coordinator that I think is going to work out as a head coach, even though he was a head coach in Miami. It wasn't going well. And then he got put in that weird situation where they were like openly courting Cristobal. And if Cristobal didn't take the job, they were going to keep him. Like that whole weird ordeal. But
yep.
I do think he is a coach that if you could coax him to leave, I would take.
A lot of people do like Manny Diaz. And that's not a name that was initially out there. Like when we first fired Pry, no one was saying, oh, we should go get Manny Diaz. But as the weeks have wore on, his name keeps popping up. I know Doug Bowman at 247 is a big Manny Diaz fan. Some of the guys I work with over at Sons of Saturday really like the idea of Manny Diaz. I'm not as high on Diaz. I would welcome him as a candidate. I think it's something we should look into. I think he's done well at Duke so far. Their team is a little bit on the sloppy side. I don't know if you've watched many Duke games, but like they are – like the Illinois game was a freaking mess and they got their butts kicked. The Tulane game, they got their butts kicked. Like those, the two times they've played decent teams this year, they didn't look very good. And last year, I don't know if you remember the SMU game, that game was a mess. Manny inherited Elko's program.
Yeah.
And Duke is investing. Like, Duke decided a few years back, like when they're getting rid of Cutcliffe or whatever, we're staffing up, we're funding up, and they have put their money where their mouth is. And I don't know that like the floor of Duke is no longer what it used to be because of how much they're investing. So I wonder if anyone had gone after Elko into Duke, how much they would like, could they have also succeeded? So I like that. Somewhat the idea of Manny Diaz, but we have already seen him fail at a major program. Like he did get fired from a major program already. And that doesn't mean that you can't get better. He was a young man, but like he's not at the top of my list. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And a guy at the top of a lot of lists, you are emphatic about not bringing this man in. Big game, James. Well,
that for a second? You're talking about James Franklin. I'm sorry, I cut you off. I just want to clarify, it's not that I wouldn't look into him if I'm on the committee. Like, he is a candidate. He is just not my top candidate. That's all I've ever said.
Who is your top candidate?
I think it's one of Dan Mullen, Golish, Summerall. I'm not quite as high on Silverfield, though I do like him. Who's the other one? I'm not a Bob Chesney guy. And we're going to talk about Shane a little bit later. We can talk, we'll get into that. But yeah, so I'd say like, I really like Golish. I love what he did with Hendon Hooker at Tennessee. He's might be in the playoff this year with South Florida. He beat Florida. The offense is fun. The guys play hard. Like there's a lot to like about Alex Golish.
Yeah. But I would ask you if you're making a massive investment of $50+ million per year, would you trust Golish with that money and investment more than you would trust James Franklin?
It's interesting you use that amount of money because that's the amount of money Penn State just paid to get rid of James Franklin.
Yeah. But like that contract's weird because it was like, here's, we're buying you out for $50 million, but you have to get a job, and whatever you make there offsets what we have to pay you. So it was kind of like, how much are they really paying this man to leave?
People may or may not have heard some of my opinions on James Franklin, because me and Sam did something on College Football Monday about it. We didn't really talk about it last night on our show, but he's not my top candidate because, one, you could talk about the big game thing, which people will dismiss, but like 1-10 against Ohio State's a bad look. Then you had the two losses this year, which were historic in every sense of the word. They were the worst two back-to-back losses in 47 years. Like, that's what they were against the spread. So, like, that's a concern that you can have a floor that low. His in-game decision-making, it is Brent Pry. They are cut from the same cloth. He has made so many in-game blunders over the past decade that if you're a ball knower, you know what I'm talking about. So that's a concern. He's had every monetary advantage at Penn State, and now he's going to come to Tech where we don't have the army that they do. Can he still win without every advantage in the book? Like, that's a concern. So, I mean, I can go on. There's lots of reasons that he's not my top candidate.
Right.
And the trajectory, like, I know he was in the playoff last year, and everyone's like, he made the semis. Guess what? He was supposed to beat SMU at home, and he did. Mm-hmm. And he was supposed to beat Boise State, and he did. And as soon as he played a team he wasn't supposed to beat, he lost. And guess what? At Virginia Tech, there's going to be a lot of teams we're not supposed to beat the next few years.
I mean, yeah, but we also don't win the ones we're supposed to. So that would be...
We did for a while. Like, under Pry, we didn't lose too many clunkers. We lost the ones that were like, oh, we're not sure if we're going to win. But when we played Syracuse on Thursday night and they were a bad team, we beat the shit out of them.
Yeah.
We beat that bad Pitt team bad. You know, we beat Boston College. Like,
I guess my next thing is like, okay, so you pass on Franklin for these reasons. You go get Galesh or whoever. They fail. Franklin succeeds wherever he goes. And then it was like, damn, could have had him. Like, could you live? Like, I guess it's like, could you live more with failing because you swung at James Franklin and it didn't work? He came in and it didn't work. Or if you failed with Galesh and Franklin would have came, but he succeeded and then it didn't work with Galesh. You see what I'm saying?
I do understand all that. And the great part is, I don't have to make the decision. Like, I'm not the one doing it. So,
but as a fan, you would be like,
if you're putting the scenario, like, if I could get James Franklin and I decide no, and I go with somebody else and then he succeeds. Yeah, that would suck. But like, that's such a multi-layered hypothetical. I just think like we need certain things at Virginia Tech. We need someone that can take a roster of not all four stars and develop them and get the most out of them on a consistent basis. Get them to play hard, be smart, mentally prepare for the biggest moments against the toughest teams and not always fail. And what we've seen from James Franklin is that's generally what happens. Over the past 11 years, that has been what happens. In the biggest moments, his teams fail. And as we always said with Pry, mentality, all that kind of stuff, it comes from the top down. The reason Aller failed against Notre Dame and against Oregon in a lot of ways is because he's being coached by James Franklin. And he's failed to develop quarterbacks. He failed to adapt with the offense for a long time. He finally brought in Kotelnicki and they had a good year, but it took him a really long time to do it. He's stubborn. He's prickly. Like and listen, you want your coach to be a little arrogant. He's super arrogant. Like, here's the thing about James Franklin. If you're going to be rooting for him in Virginia Tech, it might feel good to root for the wins. It's not going to feel good to root for him. It is not going to feel good. Now, you might say, I don't care, Pete. I just want to win. It was really nice to feel good about who Frank Beamer was and want to root for him specifically. You're not going to feel that way with James Franklin. You are not.
But I feel like that era of coach is almost gone. Like Frank, Bobby, like, I'm not going to say Joe because of the way he went out, but like, you know what I'm saying?
And
like,
that's all well and good.
The era is dead.
And that's true. And that last point about not wanting to root for him, that is way, way down on the list of why not. Like, I know people people like to harp on the weakest argument. That is way, way down. That's just an additive to all the other things I've said.
But maybe, I don't know. There's also the side of me that's like, this dude did it at Vandy, albeit years ago. But he would have more resources to do it here than he did there.
You know who took a program from nothing and made them good? Like, literally, they were like 1-11 or 0-12 and made them good. Justin Fuente.
Yeah, but he didn't.
And then we hired him at Virginia Tech and it didn't work. So, like, yes, he did that at Vanderbilt and he went on to be successful at Penn State. But, like things are not always what they were. Like, right. And I get it. Like, you look at the resume, it's hard to resist. It's not a resume contest. Some ways it is. You have to look at what they've done, but like that doesn't mean it's going to work. Like you have to look at all these different things and what kind of coach do you actually want? What qualities of the coach do you want him to possess? He wins. Okay. What else do you know about him? Like those things are important. What kind of style of coach is he? Because it might not work here.
Right. But I also think there's something to be said for motivating factors such as embarrassment, pettiness, revenge. Like he's going to be motivated to make Penn State regret.
Yes, he will.
All of that. And I think the situation had been brewing for a couple years. I also think Drew Aller is not good. And that's a concern with me about James Franklin is he has made, like he chose Clifford over Will Levis, who Will Levis is a goober, but he was really good at Kentucky. And then he chose Aller over Bo, who is balling at Missouri.
Bo balling because Franklin's not his coach, or is Bo balling because he's better than Aller? Like that's the thing. It's like,
I think he's better.
Well, you think he's better also because like he's being coached by Eli Drinkwitz, who's awesome.
I like Drinkwitz, who I would take also.
Yes, so I love Eli. Unrealistic. Drinkwitz. People think I hate every candidate. Drinkwitz or Campbell would be amazing. Like I would love to get one of those sitting P4 guys. But, you know, they're going to be hard to woo to Virginia Tech out of their current spots.
Campbell would be interesting if he could get Jason Candle from Toledo to come be the offensive coordinator at Virginia Tech.
I said this to somebody else that someone on our YouTube videos keeps commenting Jason Candle to Virginia Tech. Like every other video, like he's like, Jason Candle is a perfect candidate. I don't know why you guys aren't talking about him.
I mean, he is a powerhouse in the MAC, and the MAC is a really gritty, tough G6.
Well, the thing about Candle at Toledo is better resourced than almost any other school in the MAC. Like, they have a lot of advantages.
So we should join the MAC, is what you're saying.
If we're going to get this money and it's actually going to happen.
We'll win the MAC every year.
I would love to be in the Big 12 to that point. I said that to Sam last night.
Man, I just feel like it's like the next biggest loser is the Big 12.
But like all those schools, they're like us and they all care about football. They're all pretty good. And Texas Tech is playing at a championship caliber level right now. Like they got a big one this weekend.
They care about what we care about, which is football, basketball, wrestling. They care about those things. Baseball. Like Virginia Tech's got a pretty decent baseball following, I would say.
Oh, yeah.
We actually all pretty well rounded fan base to be like people don't give Tech credit for that, I don't think, but the notice is like football.
We follow
fans,
everything,
but like,
dude.
It's pretty well rounded.
I have friends that go to every they live in Blacksburg, but they literally go to every softball game. Like they're committed.
I would if we too. Could, they don't embarrass us.
Yeah. To finish the thought on Franklin, I was just gonna say there are positives, without a doubt. He's won a lot of games. He's probably not gonna lose you to ODU. He's probably not gonna lose to Wake too often. At least not once he gets his program up and running. And he would recruit. Like, I don't think he'd recruit at the level at Penn State. You're not gonna be bringing in a top 10 class, but I think he would, without a doubt, come down here and give us a great recruiting class. It's the strongest feature,
in my opinion.
Yeah, and that's why he beat a lot of the teams he beat, because his teams are way more talented than a lot of the teams in the bottom of the Big Ten, way more talented. Yep. And so the question is, could he take less talent and do more with it? Like that's really, can you do more with less?
Right. I mean, I feel like recruiting is going to be a major thing with the next coach, because they're going to get 3 to 4 years, but you have to, like, by year two, it has to be like this team is this is going to work. Like, in my opinion, because I feel like in about 2 years, all the conference stuff is going to start drumming back up again, and the Big Ten and the SEC are going to get itchy. They're already trying to expand the conference or the playoffs again. So I feel like you need to make it within 2 years with the way the portal is and the way all these other programs are just turning around on a dime. If you're going to invest the money, 3 to 4 years, like, you need to see return on investment year two, if not late year one.
I mean, that's the way it is now, right? Like, you need to see your program moving in the right direction by year three, and they'll cut you before that if it's going bad. You know, if it's going real bad, like Jonathan Smith right now at Michigan State, like, it's not looking too good. And there's some whispers that, like, I think he's only 2 years in, right? And so it's happening quicker and quicker, man.
That feels like a dead-end job to me, to be honest, Michigan State.
At this point, it does. I mean, D'Antonio had them going.
Yeah, he did, but it was still like they had to do it a different way.
They did.
You know, yeah. It was like, because Michigan is right there, and Harbaugh was pumping at one point. So it was kind of, and then you still have to play. Like, Iowa's always going to be tough. It's just, I think it's a weird, Michigan State would be a weird place to be as a coach.
They have to get another D'Antonio. They have to get another Ferentz. They have to get one of those type of guys that's going to build it out, have a style, stick to it, and go with it. And listen, it can happen anywhere. I mean, if it can happen at Indiana, it can freaking happen anywhere. And Sig just got that extension today.
Yeah, so I was going to say.
He's not going to Penn State.
That's good for football, man.
Yeah.
I thought for sure, like, he was going to flip that job for Penn State. And I think Indiana, like, heard that. Or at least thought, hey, like, Penn State's coming for our guy, so let's just go ahead and sweeten that pot to the point where if they want to pay this ridiculous buyout, at least we have a ton of money. But it does seem like he's going to stay there for a while. I don't know if it's going to backfire on him or not, or if he's going to be able to keep up the mojo, but it's going to be interesting to watch.
Yeah, Indiana's kind of taking the role of Wisconsin in the Big Ten right now. And they're doing absolutely fantastic. Comparison. But, like, Wisconsin was – it was Ohio State, it was Michigan, it was Penn State and Wisconsin, you know, like, those were the tough teams, the Bielema teams and the Paul Chryst teams. And now, like, Wisconsin is floundering, and, like, they just got blanked at home. Fickell could be out the door if they want to pay that buyout, which is shocking, right? No one thought the Fickell thing would go sideways.
Nah, we wanted him.
We wanted him. And that's the thing, man. And that's the thing with Franklin. Like, he seems like a slam dunk. You never know. You never know.
Never. But I feel like you would feel better about hiring him than others.
Do you want to talk
not
about
all
Shane?
Of them, but if you landed James Franklin, I think people would get behind it pretty quick.
Well, you would, yes. I think you'd get an instant recruiting bump. You might get some instant big financial pledges. But you also got to play the games once you get all that done. Yeah. And I wonder, like, what happened on the field this year was, I've already said it, how historic it was. It's concerning to me that could happen to him. You know, like, if that can happen to him, how does he recover from that? Like, that is, it's like what happened to Norvell last year with going 2-10 at Florida State after going undefeated. Like, it was so tragic in the football way and historic in the bad way. And Norvell's not recovering well. Now, he didn't have the resume that Franklin had before that, but it's an example of, like, you can be on the right path and then something can knock you down and then you never get back.
Yeah, I thought DeBoer did a good job of calming the storm down there at Alabama because they were getting pretty feisty about him, but it seems that their quarterback has settled in nicely. Ty Simpson, he seems like he's pretty damn good.
He's baller, yeah, dude.
I mean, obviously they get that type of talent. Now, A&M is Mike Elko just seems like the real deal because Jimbo wasn't getting that out of them down there. So no. Like they look tough. Like
they're actually tough. Real tough. And you know, this weekend for them, it doesn't, you know, maybe not to the average fan, but that trip to Arkansas, Talen Green is an incredible quarterback. And A&M, I'm not calling an upset or anything, but it's just, if they are really, if A&M's really a top 10, top five team, they go into Arkansas and handle their business. But it could be a scary day.
Yeah. Another one that we've been, Mark Stoops. I think he's a good coach, but I don't want it. I don't want any parts of it. I would not, he doesn't excite me. I would not be, if he was my prom date, I would not be happy. I would like, I wouldn't be, like, it wouldn't be no, my.
And everyone's on know? That same page. And the thing about, we know what Mark Stoops, or maybe not everyone does, but like what he did at Kentucky was amazing. I mean, he was bringing in talent. They always had a good offensive line. They could run the ball. He had winning seasons and bowl seasons at Kentucky, something that wasn't normal at all. But he has reached the, he's coming down, right? Like his career went like this and now it's starting to come like this. And like, you don't want to hire a guy on the downswing. And to just say, oh, Mark Stoops is awful, it doesn't tell the whole story. But at this point in his career, like, he's not ready to start something up. It doesn't seem like.
No. And then that's when you get to like the Summerall, who's a program builder. He turned Troy around. He turned Tulane around. And I mean, what he's doing at Tulane is pretty impressive, in my opinion, considering the recruiting footprint they're in and the big dogs that are constantly hunting it.
Yeah.
I think he's done a really good job. He's very stable down there. I would love him at Virginia Tech. I don't know if we have the correct timeline for him to come in and build it up, but maybe. Galesh as well. Like you mentioned, you love him. He's a Heifel disciple. Worked with Hendon, was an OC there. He does pretty well with Brown down there at USF. I don't know.
Brown has an extra year of eligibility too.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine? I like these coaches with quarterbacks with eligibility left.
Listen, they shouldn't make your decision based on it, but it's a nice bonus.
Yeah, because you have to think, like, realistically, our quarterback for next year is probably not on our roster right now. And that's not disrespect to Pop, Kyron, or not Kendall, or what, Pop, Keldon.
Pop
sorry.
Needs a fresh start.
Yeah. And he's got 1 year left. Like, he's not going to gamble that on a new coach. I feel like he's, you know, he will, but not at Tech, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to go somewhere where he knows, hey, I'm going to be able to start.
I like what you said about Summerall. The one thing about him at Tulane is just that he got left that program by Willie Fritz. Willie Fritz had won a Sugar Bowl against USC. And he's only been there 2 years. But the Troy thing is for real. Like, he did really good at Troy, and he's kept Tulane going. I wish they didn't get spanked so bad by Ole Miss. Like, that would make him a lot more attractive. Like, Golesh went out and beat the big P5 team, although we know Florida's not Ole Miss.
He beat Boise too, which is
and he beat Boise really good in game one. Yeah. Like, so like, if you're just going by recency, like, Golesh is having a better season than Summerall. However, Summerall did wipe the floor with Mensa and Manny Diaz.
Yeah, revenge game. He took it to him.
Yeah. So I love Summerall. I think he's a great leader. I think he could be really good wherever he goes.
Pretty good recruiter. He brought in what's-his-face from BYU, who's not bad.
Yeah. And he's a Kentucky guy. I think Summerall, like, there's been some links to
they're trying to do that whole, they're bringing the whole family back. Mark Pope, maybe John Summerall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just, they'd be lucky. Comedy. They'd be lucky if that happened, if they didn't have Stoops and they had Summerall next year. I'll tell you that.
Yeah. It's just an interesting place to be in because, I felt last cycle, it felt like we settled. And then the one before that with Fuente, it felt like there were still a lot of openings and we still got our guy, even though it didn't work. So, like,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of people itching for opportunity. There's going to be a lot of jobs open, but I think there's going to be a plethora of good options available to come in and coach.
Yeah, you look at UCLA is open, Arkansas, Oklahoma State, us, Oregon State. Wisconsin is probably going to be looking. Florida really sounds like they're going to be looking. Penn State, obviously. And then you could have other, like Norvell could go. Auburn could be firing Hugh Freeze. NC State, like, do they want to stick with Dorn? Michigan State, talked about Johnson. So this could really be an insane coaching carousel from potential openings. And that's not even counting whoever Penn State's going to poach. because you know they're poaching somebody.
Oh, yeah.
And so then that is going to, like, if they get Rule, then Nebraska needs a coach. And so it can be a very crazy cycle. However, I do think there are a lot of good names and high quality names, even if they're not the Shanes or James Franklins. Like, there's a lot of good names and a lot of good potential head coaches out there that could be great for Virginia Tech, in my opinion. I'm not so worried about finding a good choice.
Yeah, and it brings me to the one that makes me the most nervous. Shane Beamer. Baby Beams.
You need to talk about him first, because I want to know your take on Shane.
I only say it makes me the most nervous because if it didn't work and we had to fire him, it wouldn't just be firing another football coach.
Yep.
Like, I feel like it would come with intense impact, and I think it would shake the foundation more so than because of the last name. He went there. He was on staff there. His dad has a statue. It all the lore, my dad is Coach Beamer there. I'll never be Coach Beamer there. The expectation on that man at Virginia Tech to be the prodigal son returning, like, that's either going to go amazing. Like, how do you even live up to that? You know what I'm saying? Like, you would have to.
And he would know that. He knows this, right? Like, he knows. Well,
he has to be well aware. Yeah.
So, like, does he want to put that on his shoulders? Is that attractive to him? It's hard to know what to believe right now, because there does seem to be like this Shane and chatter in the background, and like, obviously it's sitting out there for every person that writes narratives in college football. It's sitting out there. Like, Virginia Tech needs a coach. Shane Beamer is at South Carolina. They might not want him anymore after this season, depending on how the next four games goes. Or maybe there's a mutual parting of ways and he can go to Virginia Tech. But that, like, that's a hurdle. So, like, to me, it's already kind of far-fetched that he's going to leave South Carolina to come here. And then you add in the legacy aspect of it all. And are you willing to hire Shane Beamer knowing you may have to fire him someday, like, just and ruining a legacy of the family? Like, I don't know. But just talk about, I want to know your opinion on him. Like, if he did come in as the coach, like, how are you feeling about that as a hire?
Right. So first of all, I'm going to say, like, if they do fire him at South Carolina, it feels like, what's he going to do? He's no other big school is going to hire him. He's not going to go coach Florida Atlantic or be a coordinator somewhere. Like, Virginia Tech, just with it open, just being like, it feels so obvious that he would be the one. He would open wallets the most. I think all the donors would give him whatever he wanted. I think he would be the, for lack of a better term, the big dick in the athletic department, because who he is. I think he will recruit the footprint very well. He will recruit Virginia very well.
Yeah. He already is doing that.
Yeah. I think he has the same issue sort of that his dad did with the offensive coordinator thing.
Shula was a bad choice.
He does have a temperament that's not necessarily even keel. He's very fiery, and sometimes he lets it rip in press conferences, and sometimes it's cool, and sometimes it comes across as immature. I do think he would win in the ACC. I mean, I would be behind it. Like, I love, like, what, emotionally, like, my child, like, it's my whole life. Like, my whole childhood is Frank Beamer, and then we know Shane. It would be like, I don't, like, I would do, like, I wouldn't be mad about it.
Everyone would get excited about it, man. As soon as if it came down, whether you want Shane back in town or not, as soon as he got back in town, it would be on like Donkey Kong. I mean, we'd all be juiced up. The wallets would open. The recruiting would start rolling. Like, and you know what? Lenora Sellers is probably coming with him, unless he goes to the NFL, which right now, it's not looking like he's going to the NFL because he's not playing all that good. So, exactly. Fred Johnson, like, that roster is pretty loaded up with talent. They're not performing very well, but it's pretty loaded up, and they're up against a really tough schedule.
I think T. Gray would come home.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, you would think he would. The the actual football issues with Shane are this year in particular, his team is very undisciplined. Like that's they have the second most penalties in the country per game. Like literally second behind some, you know, one really awful team, but 9.2 penalties per game. And I would say the development has been there for the most part under him. Like they've developed. I do worry about his sideline demeanor and how that translates to the players and that kind of thing. And he was almost fired a couple years ago, and then he had a great year last year to kind of save his butt. Now he's not having a good year again. So is he actually a good coach? Like, we don't know the answer to that. Like, I think he's a decent coach. I don't know if he's a good coach, and we need to get it right. You know, we really need to get this coaching hire right. So it's risky from that regard. Now, money and recruits, like, that goes a long way to reducing your risk. Like it does, but that would be my kind of football concerns with it, on top of the legacy concerns. And do we really want to tap that well now? Is now the right time?
Yeah. And also, like, you know, the messaging, like, are we really trying to get away from the old guard? Because you wouldn't be.
I think Shane back harder than you ever went before.
Yeah, I think Shane is different stylistically than his dad. I think he's pretty modern as far as, like, you know, he brings Bustin' with the Boys in, and he's doing all the media stuff. He's a media darling guy. Like, they love him down there. He knows what he's doing. He was great in the SEC documentary on Netflix. It's just the recruiting. Yeah, I mean, he started at GA his first year. His GA had to, like, play quarterback because whatever got hurt. I can't remember his name, but they ended up winning 6. And then he went and got Spencer Rattler from Oklahoma, and you'd heard all sorts of stuff about him being a wild card. He seemed to play for Shane okay.
Yeah, okay.
I think, you know, it would be a mixed bag of emotions, excitement, and dread and nervousness, just because you know how it could end. But it could also be it could be what needed to happen all along. You never know.
It could be magical. Do you remember when Shane Beamer got hired by South Carolina, and that kind of some of the chatter around it, just that there was a lot of national college football people who thought, like, that was a bogus hire, like, yeah, that Shane didn't deserve to be hired, and he's proven people wrong a little, like, and maybe a lot if you want to go back to last year. And he's recruited his butt off, and they won 9 games in a really tough SEC. So I'd say he did prove people wrong that, like, he can absolutely coach at a decent level in FBS. But it's something to consider. Like, even not that long ago, people didn't even think he should be a head coach. And so I think that is, you can kind of move past that now, but it's just something that adds to the story behind Shane. And I think he's always had that chip on his shoulder because of things like that. And because he kind of has to live up to dad's legacy, that's why you see him be a little bit more wild on the sidelines. Like, I get hot under the collar too, Dan, you know it. And, like, maybe it's short man disease. Maybe it's, you know, trying to live up to something. I don't know what it is, but, like, he's got that. And it's not always a bad thing, but you got to keep it in check.
That's true. You do have to keep it in check. Yeah, I think the conversation was based around he was just like a position coach at Oklahoma. It was never even a coordinator. And then he gets hired at South Carolina as the head coach, which he had been there before as another like position coach or whatever. But, yeah, it was – this year is a mixed bag, but – last year was good. I think overall, it's just a avenue that I think Tech will explore based on Bud and Eddie being on the committee. I don't know if Shane really wants it or not. You never know. He might not want to even touch NDAs and all, but yeah. I mean, you could avoid it altogether and still get a pretty good coach, but so if you feel like he's the one.
What I'm hearing from you, though, is that you can choose one. You're choosing Franklin over Shane.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm choosing Franklin over Shane. Yeah. I think there's less emotion tied to that decision, and normally my less emotional decisions are better decisions.
So I think I probably have to agree with you on that one. Like I like I said, I've never said Franklin's not on my list. He's just not at the top of it. Like that. So yeah. There is a point where it's like, yeah, James Franklin would be great if we can't get XYZ. And XYZ is not that long either. Like I like Gelish, I like Summerall, I like Mullen. Like we haven't talked much about Mullen. What are your thoughts on him?
I like him. He's got to leave Grantham at home. To be honest, I don't want him
yeah.
in the program anymore. but I think, you know, Florida is a hard place to coach. There's a lot of hands in the cookie jar down there. A lot of people, I think, that say what should be and what shouldn't be that probably shouldn't have a say at all. They go through coaches a lot, which is bad in my opinion. I feel like it's always a carousel down there. It seems like it's been a mess ever since Urban left. And you know, I like him. I think he recruited well down there. He probably didn't recruit to Florida standards, but he definitely recruited to Virginia Tech standards, and he elevated, in my opinion. You know, him and his wife, they can come to Virginia Tech. I would be completely, she's going to kiss the players and it's going to make great Hokie walks. And, yeah, dude, like I would be down with Dan Mullen. He has a great first name as well. We didn't mention that, but yeah, I absolutely like Mullen. If we hired Dan Mullen, I would be like, let's go.
I think Mullen is extremely accomplished. And like the Florida thing didn't go well, but he did finish top 15 three of those seasons. I mean, mm-hmm. everyone thinks that was a disaster tenure, maybe at the end because he wasn't recruiting the way they wanted him to, but like he had his team in the top 15. Like they were good. And that's in, you know, the SEC facing Georgia all the time. And then at Mississippi State, like it goes without saying. Now you're getting into a little bit longer ago, so I can't fade Franklin's Vanderbilt but the Mississippi State thing was more recent. It was in the SEC West, like at the peak of the SEC West, and he had Dak Prescott and so many other guys, and they won a ton of games they shouldn't have won, and that's why he got the job at Florida, because he had done more with less for so long.
Yeah, and I think he'd be interested in Tech. And I think
he'd be interested for sure. It's just that he might get better offers. Like, I don't know. Not that there's a ton of better offers out there. Like, what do you think about Tech against Arkansas? This is something Sam and I were talking about last night.
I think if you take away the SEC patch on the uniform, we're a better job. Like, I think the only thing they can offer is probably more money. But what are you really going to win there? Yeah.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like it's going to be so hard to win there. Like it just is. The recruiting footprint isn't as good. Oklahoma State against Tech was another one we talked about. Like that's a tough call because they got Texas right around the corner to go recruit in. They have some history. Gundy and Beamer's tenures. Beamer probably reached a little bit higher of highs, but they were both very good tenures. And then they also had Barry Sanders in their past, you know, so there's history with both schools. That one's tough. It really depends on the personality of the coach. Probably.
I think the only job open right now that is better than Virginia Tech clear cut is Penn State.
I agree. And Tom Fornelli put out that list where that was what he said. You know, he said it's Penn State and then Tech. And then I can't remember what he put after that. It was Arkansas or Oklahoma State, but I mean, we're in a good position now from that regard, but as we talked about, things are going to change rapidly. Like Florida, once Florida comes open, like that's going to move up to right where Penn State is or above it or right below it, somewhere in that neighborhood.
I think Florida might try to poach somebody who's not even in our realm, to be honest. Like, I think they're going to go after somebody's prized possession.
Like a coordinator?
Like a Lane Kiffin or
something
of that nature. I don't know what they'll do. They're not bringing Mullen back. No, I know that much. Might go after like a Summerall, but
they might. They just did that.
I don't think they're going to wreck our search like they did last time.
Yeah. Let me ask you about coordinators. There's a bunch of like really good coordinators out there that since we just did the coordinator thing, people I think are a little afraid of it. Like think we need a proven wins and losses head coach, but What do you think? Let me read off a couple names and like maybe just give me your favorite one or two. Will Stein, Oregon OC, Glenn Schumann, Georgia DC, Tim Banks, Tennessee DC, Shannon Dawson, Miami OC, Buster Faulkner, GT OC, Colin Klein, Texas A&M OC, or Kirby Moore, Mizzou's OC, and Kellen's brother.
Mm.
I know it's a lot of names, but you know some of those names already.
Dude, Optimus Klein, I remember him. Yeah, that dude is doing things down there.
Yeah, he would be, he'd be solid.
Elko's a defensive guy. So,
we lost Dan. I'm sure he'll be back in a minute.
Yo, I don't know what happened, but
he's back.
Fine. I think Elker's calling the defense down there. He's a defensive guy, so their offensive success purely on him, in my opinion. So, like, Willie Stein, obviously, Oregon, but I feel like they always have a good offense. It's plug and play. Schumann down at Georgia.
Georgia.
And he's been there forever with Kirby.
Yep.
So I don't know if it's like a Bieniemy situation or he's just waiting for the – I don't know.
Kirby was with Saban for a while too.
Yeah, he was. Kirby was.
You know what's another name? Heartline.
Brian Heartline?
Brian Heartline. Yeah,
I was talking to Chris Lester about that.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Chris was he commented on the Suns post about Heartline. It's like, I was like, yeah, I know. Wide receiver guy. I see you.
So he's got aura. Like
he kind of like, does. Yeah.
He's a dude. And I don't know how well he would be as a head coach, but he has Julian saying, like, believing in himself now. And obviously he has all the weapons in the world, like Jeremiah Smith. He had Maserati Marv.
Who he recruited.
Yeah. No, he would recruit his ass off to Virginia Tech. If you were going to go coordinator route, I would be cool with, like, a him or even Drinks. OC, Kellen Moore's brother, Klein, though. Yeah, like, I think he's going to be a head coach.
I think you're right. That's probably, like, Shannon Dawson's done an amazing job at Miami the last 2 years. And Sam did this thing where he was talking about this guy who did a long study on coaches who are hired as, whether they're offensive guys or defensive guys. And on the whole, the offensive guys have more success. And some of that is linked to because of the relationship with the quarterback. Offensive guys can tend to get more of the quarterback, and thus they have more success. And so I do think if we went OC route or a coordinator route, I'd want to go OC. And I like the Klein option. I like Stein a lot. Didn't love what he did against Indiana, but that was a tough game. Schumann, I find very interesting as well. Kirby, I think we need to see a little bit more, but he's learning from Drink, who I do really like.
No, that's a fact. Yeah. Give me the Optimus Klein, Kansas State. Like,
that's right.
Now he's at A&M. Yeah. I would, if we're going coordinator and we swing and miss on these other coaches, I would absolutely be like, you know what? I'll do it.
How do you feel about Bob Chesney with your JMU ties?
I mean, he won a Holy Cross. He seems to be winning at JMU. I think he kind of got himself into a predicament with the two quarterback thing because he brought his dude from Holy Cross being like, hey, you'll play for sure. And then he ended up, the other dude's better, in my opinion. And now he's like, shit, what do I do? I would take him, but it would have to be like, damn, we missed on like 8 people.
Yeah.
Like, it just, I think, I don't know.
I'm not in the Chesney camp. Like, when, and remember, that's not happening anymore, but Jamie Chadwell kept coming up too when we first fired Pry. And it's like, no. He, like, Liberty, you want to talk about being more well resourced than the rest of your conference? They are that. and they are struggling. Now, they've won a couple games lately, but I think they still have a losing record this year. Like, that's not supposed to happen at Liberty in Conference USA.
I agree. Yeah, I want any parts of Walmart, Mike Gundy.
That's
what he is.
Yeah.
He's great value, Mike Gundy.
He should go back to Coastal, where he had all the success. I mean, Coastal's struggling.
Yeah, they're not doing so hot. But, I mean, that's what it is.
Is there any other candidates you want, like the out-of-work guys, you want to talk about any of them, like Gruden or Fisher or anybody like that?
I'm not interested in either of those two. John Gruden's a great personality, and, like, if he wants to come do some interviews at Virginia Tech on, like, the Barstool media side of things, I'm down. Like, come do that. But, like, he's been out of coaching for a while. The last time in the NFL didn't go well. He's not a college guy. He knows ball. He keeps up with college, but he hasn't coached college. Jimbo, very underwhelming at Texas A&M. He's been out of the game for a while. I don't know. You talk about somebody that did more or less with more. That was him.
At the end, for sure. Because he did win a natty. Mm-hmm. And he did have a good run, you know, with LSU. And was it Texas? Jimbo has a long career. I feel like when he was on that broadcast 2 weeks ago for FSU Miami, like, he wants to get back in. Like, I'm not saying I want him, but I'm pretty sure he wants in.
And I don't want any part of Ed Orgeron.
Coach O. Yeah, that's no. For maybe a G5 team, they should go after and give Coach O a try, but he's not going to be at any power conference team's coach anytime soon.
Right. I agree. Yeah, man. Bye week. We're in it. How do you feel about
one more? One more name for you.
Yeah, hit me with it.
NFL guy. You're a big NFL person. Joe Brady. That name has come up a lot, and it's not necessarily for Tech, but could a Penn State seek out a Joe Brady? Because I imagine he would command a good check because he's probably making a lot of money with the Bills.
I feel like he's next in line for an NFL job.
Okay.
I feel like he's going to be an NFL head coach soon. So I don't know if you could coax him to leave Josh Allen to do that. I think he would be, he set records at LSU with that all-star cast, but I don't think he would leave the Shield to come to college.
Yeah, if he feels that he can grab an NFL job, he's probably going to stay. However, Sig is getting like $11 million per year. Mm-hmm. If Penn State offers Joe Brady $12 million a year for 5 years, that's hard to turn down.
That is hard to turn down. You really have to be all about your convictions as an NFL potential head coach to turn that down.
There are a couple coaches like, and we, I don't know how long you want to talk here, but there are a couple coaches that we could go after that are sitting other places that might be gettable that I like Chris Klieman. I know Kansas State season started off bad in Ireland, but I think he's a really good coach. They've turned things around a little bit. They got a big win last weekend. I think he's someone that like could do well at Virginia Tech. Willie Fritz, like these aren't guys that it's going to happen, but like he's undefeated at Houston. I think he's undefeated still. He did great work at Tulane. Like, I don't know if he's gettable, but like if we hired Willie Fritz, I'd be pretty pumped.
It wouldn't be the worst hire.
So yeah, there's those kind of hires too. Like, are we going to pull someone out of left field? Like when Witt came in and we brought in Buzz Williams, like, absolutely no one expected that. Like, that was completely out of left field. So there could be something like that happening, although we know that Witt is involved or not involved or overseeing, or we don't know what's going on.
No. No idea. I have no idea what the hell is going on in Merriman.
I don't think any of them do either.
No. No, they don't. So many, like, you could just deep dive into options.
Oh yeah, I mean, you could,
especially this, or like, and we're so early in the, like, in the cycle. Obviously, we were the first ones to axe somebody. So hopefully, I mean, you could go get Franklin now if you wanted, or if he wanted, you could go get Jimbo now. Like,
true. Yeah.
Those would be the positives to somebody not having a job right now, is you could go get them now and go ahead and like back channel setting up, hey, I'm going to be coaching here. You coming with me? Type of deal.
The one thing that's interesting about the Mullen aspect is that if Florida comes open, they're not going after Mullen.
No.
Because they already did that. So like there are some, for the guys that are unemployed or not working right now, the reason that they don't take a job now is because they want maximum bidding on them, right? Like Franklin's not going to take a job now because he wants to see NC State or Florida or Michigan State all open up and all be options for him.
Yeah, I agree. Choosing NC State over Tech would be kind of wild, though.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Someone had that as like their top projected spot for Franklin, even though it's not open yet. But that, like, to me, like, I feel like UCLA fits James Franklin in some way. Like, it just seems like he would work there. I don't know.
We got you fired. Now we're going to hire you.
Right.
They might hire Little News.
I wonder what he's going to do. Like, that guy's making himself some serious money right now.
Yeah, he's killing it. They believe in that guy. They want to play for him.
No one's even talking about Tim Skipper. They're talking about Neuheisel.
Yeah, the OC. Yeah, they're even talking about the interim coach. This is crazy. How do you feel about our interim coach? He's going to probably end up G6, right?
I love Monty, man. I think love might be strong, but like to weather this storm the way he did, get us that NC State win. He's just a pro. Like you listen to him talk and it's refreshing, right? When he first had to take the podium as our head coach, it was refreshing. And maybe that's just because it was a change, but the guy's just, he's a head coach. Like that's who he is. He was a head coach for a long time. He's kind of like a grizzled veteran dude that generally makes the right decisions on things. And I feel like he's got our team playing hard, man. I know we were outmanned at Georgia Tech, but those guys played hard.
Yeah, I agree. I like seeing Brandon Johnson and Noah Chambers and Sheldon Robinson and JoJo Krim out there on defense making a difference.
Yes.
I'd like to see more Snook on offense, especially with Cam Seldon hurt. Like I thought, and a couple other injuries, I thought it would have been nice to, and Tucker Holloway not here anymore. It would have been nice to see.
I was sad that Snook dropped that one pass because like he could be really good eventually. Mm-hmm. And every kid drops a pass on occasion, but I just mean like, I wanted to see him catch it and go and do something special. And
right.
Hopefully he'll get a couple more opportunities because yeah, that's one of the fun parts about having a season like we're having is like, we can see a Noah Chambers start to ball out. We can see George Balance get in there and lead us in tackles. Like, you know, we shouldn't have to rely on these guys, but the fact that they're out there and they're busting their balls and they're, you know, sticking with, we were down, 7 points to a ranked team for a little while in last week's game. Like the whole defense is young dudes, right? So that's been fun. I know we're losing, but like, that's the fun part about it.
I agree. How do you see the rest of the season playing out?
Well, I feel like Friday night's our best chance for a win left.
1,000%.
I'd like to think that maybe we have a really good shot against UVA because it's UVA, but they're obviously playing a much better brand of football than we are right now.
Yeah. I would like to get that one though.
I think we can. I absolutely think we can.
Yeah. Survive it this year to keep winning it next year.
And that's what we've generally done. Any of the years, except for one, when we've been worse than UVA, like 2018, like we were way worse than UVA, beat them. And it was one of the best wins, most unexpected final minute wins ever. And that's what's happened a lot. So the guys are going to believe they can win the game. Like Monty will have them believe in. JC Price will have them believe in. You know, no one loves this rivalry more than JC.
That's a fact. Yeah, it would be nice to finish competitively this year.
Beating UVA would be sweet as shit, man. That would be so sweet. Because they could be still one loss at that point. Who knows?
Could be.
They got an easy schedule, dude.
Yep, Duke's about their toughest one left, I think.
Yeah, they got Wake and Duke, I think. Maybe somebody else decent. I'm not sure.
I think they
got
to go to Chapel Bill.
Ooh, yeah, so this weekend, actually. Them. Yeah, they will. Cal is playing UNC this weekend. So we're off. Cal is playing.
Right. Yep.
That's nice.
Yeah, I have a Cal guy coming on next week. He runs the Believe in Cal podcast on the Believe Network that I'm a part of. So
very nice.
I'm interested to see his perspective on what they do out there.
I like the idea of getting, despite how good he is, that freshman quarterback in Lane Stadium on a Friday night. I look forward to that. Because, you know, our attendance for Wofford and Wake maybe not top-notch, although Wake was pretty full for a little while there. Cal's going to be full. Like, Cal's going to be full, and as long as we don't, like, go underwater early, like, we'll be rocking.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have a victory Friday and then, you know, Saturday, Sunday, stress-free.
Yes.
Football for the most part.
That would be nice. That would be nice.
Yeah, the Broncos had the Cowboys that Sunday, so I don't know how stress-free that would be, but.
Hey, Cowboys just lost to those cardiac cats.
Yeah, we got the Giants this weekend. So.
Oh, dude, I just had that experience.
Listen, yeah, we're celebrating the 50th or the Super Bowl 50 win, too, and they're honoring Demaryius.
Look, you're going to smoke them. I think what happened to the Eagles last week with, not that this, we don't have to do NFL, but like everyone's excited about Jackson Dart and Scataboo, right? Fun, two young bros just going out there balling. The Broncos are going to eat them up. Like that defense for the Broncos, look what they just did. Like the negative passing yards, they're going to eat them up.
Yeah, I think so too. Pete, man, thank you for taking the time out of your bye week to come on here and, you know, break down all these candidates and talk it out. Sometimes it's better to talk it out than to tweet it out because tweets get lost or people just want to take what they see and no nuance, nothing, and just go with it. So true discourse is the best way.
I had a great time, man. I always love coming on the show. Thank you for the invite.
Yeah, man. Anytime, man. I appreciate you coming on here and helping me out and giving me good co-host play over there. You know, it's good because be by myself, I'll just yap, but
Well, you know what? It's nice. We're not going to be by ourselves next weekend because I'm going to see you on Friday because I'm going to be down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You coming down.
Yeah. So I'm getting in Thursday night and then Friday during the day, we'll meet up. Me and Sam are hoping to do like some kind of hangout at Sharky's with some listeners and stuff. So everyone's welcome to that. We're going to try to figure that out on Friday, early Friday afternoon. And then I think our tailgate is up near yours. Like I'm going to be tailgating with Sam.
Okay, yeah.
And his family. And I think it's up on Chicken Hill. So it's going to be obviously be by the tailgate.
Hell yeah, man. It's going to be a good time. We're going to be getting after it. So
for sure.
Yeah, man. But hey, thank you as always. It'll be interesting to see how this thing goes, both the season and the coaching search and the GM search and maybe an AD search. We don't know. That's non-disclosed, agreed upon.
Right.
So, yeah, man. Go Hokies, dude.
Go Hokies.